Thank you for inviting my spouse Melba and me to worship God with you on this 100th anniversary of First United Methodist Church of Homosassa. I want to commend you for the wonderful and beautiful facilities that you have created over the years. And it's also impressive to see how you have opened these facilities to so many groups in the community that serve the needs of people. And I can tell that this is a very, very active congregation. And I commend you for the ministry that you are performing in your community. It's special for me to be able to be here today so that I can be with your pastor, Mark. Mark and I began at the same time, and we're going to end at the same time. Both of us are retiring this year, and both of us were in seminary together at the Candler School of Theology of Emory University. And when we were students at seminary, the professors often got us confused, in spite of the fact that he has a totally unnecessary extra T in his last name. And I've always wanted to...
The microphone.
He wants to wonder, what's wrong with me that I lost a T? And all these years I've been looking for an opportunity to say a public apology to Mark for all the trouble he got into because our professors confused him with me when we were in seminary. But we're grateful for Mark's service as pastor here and also for his faithful service as a member of the Florida Conference of the United Methodist Church. The readings from the scripture were selected by me for this 100th anniversary. And my sermon is based upon the reading from the Epistle to the Hebrews. Let us unite our hearts together in prayer. Eternal God, you have revealed your word to the world through your mighty acts in history and by illumining the hearts and minds of men and women. By your Spirit, you inspired the writing of your written word, which gives testimony to what you have said to us. Now open our hearts and minds so that we may hear with joy and obedience what you say to us today, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You've chosen the perfect theme for the anniversary of a church. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. This theme recognizes that the church lives in history. The church is a part of the world. Because the church is a part of the world, it lives in time. It has a past, a present, and a future. Since the church lives in time, it undergoes all of the changes that occur in history. The church of today is not the same as it was 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago. And the church of tomorrow will not be the same as the church of today. Yet despite all of the changes that the church undergoes as it moves forward in time, there is still a continuity in the life of the church. The more the church changes, the more it remains the same. Despite all of the changes that the church has had over the years, we who are the church today have something in common with those who were the church yesterday and those who will be the church tomorrow. What is it about the church that remains the same? As the church moves in time through all of the years and even the centuries? The answer is found in a sentence written in the Epistle to the Hebrews. The author of this epistle wrote, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." It is believed that this sentence in the Epistle to the Hebrews is a kind of creed. In other words, the sentence was probably not an original statement of the author, but a traditional formula that was used in preaching and teaching and worship. When the author included this sentence in his epistle, he was only quoting a creed. The place that this sentence occupies in the epistle indicates that the author was indeed quoting a creed. It occurs in the middle of the epistle where the author is giving instructions to the church on how to live. In the 13th chapter of Hebrews, the author is exhorting his readers to practice hospitality to strangers, to visit people who are in prison because of their Christian faith, to keep their marriage vows pure, and to avoid becoming greedy for money. And then the author instructs the readers to imitate the example of their leaders in the past who had started the church. And it is at this point that the author inserts the creed, which says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's as if the author were saying, by inserting the creed at this point, you should have the same faith today that they who were your leaders had yesterday. And then the author of this epistle goes on to warn his readers against being carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. And it is as if he were saying, in the future, don't start believing something different from what you believe today or from what your leaders believed yesterday. In other words, continue to live the kind of life based upon the same creed of the church that is true in every generation. And that creed is, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, in this 13th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, the author is not developing a theological argument. He's already developed his theological argument in the first 12 chapters. In the previous 12 chapters, this author is basically interpreting Jesus Christ according to Psalm 110. Psalm 110 is a psalm about the King of Israel. Of course, the writer already knows that Jesus Christ is the true King of Israel. And in the 110th psalm, the psalmist says a very strange thing. The psalmist says that the King of Israel is a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. It's a strange thing to call a king a priest. Of course, the King of Israel would not be like the regular priest, because all of the regular priests are hereditary descendants of Aaron, the brother of Moses. Yet the psalmist is saying that the King of Israel must be like a priest, someone who stands between the Lord and the people, and who prays for the people. So the psalmist claims that the king is a priest like Melchizedek. Melchizedek was not a priest in the line of Moses or line of Aaron, but he was a priest who had ministered to Abraham long before the days of Moses and Aaron. The king of Israel then could not be one of the regular priests, but he would be a priest in a spiritual sense, like Melchizedek. So when the writer of Hebrews reads this 110th Psalm, he thinks, this Psalm is a prophecy of Jesus Christ. Christ is the true King of Israel because God raised him from the dead. But Christ is not only our King, he is also our priest. He is our priest because he has made a sacrifice of his own life on the cross to save us from our sins. And now he is exalted to the right hand of God, where he intercedes and prays for us. Now that's the main argument that occurs in the Epistle to the Hebrews. It's a proclamation of Jesus Christ as our priest who stands between God the Father and us, based upon an interpretation primarily of Psalm 110. Now, this sentence, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, never appears in the main theological argument of the epistle. If it were an original statement of the author, it probably would have appeared in the first 12 chapters. But since it is a theological statement that occurs within the ethical section of the epistle, it's most likely that this statement is a creed of the early church that the author is quoting in order to remind the people to continue to believe the same thing generation after generation. Today, our creeds are longer than the creed quoted in Hebrews. Our two most important creeds are the Nicene Creed and the Apostles' Creed. But in the earliest days, Christians had creeds that consisted of only one sentence. The Apostle Paul quotes one of these earliest creeds when he writes, Jesus is Lord. The author of the Epistle to the Hebrews is quoting another one of these early creeds when he writes, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you think about it, our longer creeds are essentially expansions of these earliest creeds of the church. Here at First United Methodist Church in Homosassa, we should be able to say the same creed that is in Hebrews. Those who started this church had the same creed. And by the grace of God, those who will be the First United Methodist Church in Homosassa tomorrow will have this same creed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This creed is what gives the church its continuity through all of the changes of time. The church's life undergoes changes in history. But the church's basic creed does not change from generation to generation. Well, let's get to the heart of the matter. What does this creed mean to us? For one thing, our creed shows us that there is something that we can trust in this uncertain life. The reality of our existence is that it is full of anxiety. From the moment we are conceived in the womb until we die, the times of our lives are uncertain. Do you remember the popular song, "That's Life," that was made famous by Frank Sinatra? And there is a line in that popular song that says, "You're riding high in April, you're shot down in May." Is there anywhere that we can turn in this uncertain life where we can place our trust? According to the creed of the church, there is a place where we can stand in this uncertain life. And that is God's revelation in Jesus Christ. God has given to the world a sign in Jesus Christ. God says to us, look to Jesus Christ, for he is the way, the truth, and the life. Now I realize that this sounds all very mysterious. But remember, life itself is a mystery. In one of the lines of her poems, Marianne Moore says, "Mystery expounds mystery." And the way in which we come to understand the mystery of life is by means of another mystery, and that is the mystery of God. And the mystery we call God has revealed God's self to us in Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus Christ gives us a place to stand in this uncertain and, yes, mysterious life that is ours. Moreover, our creed shows us that something that we can trust is a person. When God revealed God's self to us, God did not give us a system of beliefs. No, God gave us a person, Jesus Christ. Nor did God give us a code of behavior. No, God gave us a person, Jesus Christ. Faith is not merely giving our intellectual assent to a system of beliefs. Nor is faith simply conforming our wills to a code of behavior. Whatever else faith is primarily our trust in a person, Jesus Christ. And this person in whom we place our trust is a living person. Yes, God's revelation occurred in a person who lived in the past. Jesus did live in the past, in the Roman province of Palestine, where he taught people and performed mighty works. He was crucified under Pontius Pilate, the procurator of Judea, under Emperor Tiberius, on the 14th day of April in AD 30. So then, Jesus is a historical figure who lived long ago, like Socrates or the Buddha or Muhammad. Yet God raised him from the dead and exalted him to God's right hand as the Lord of the cosmos. Death no longer has dominion over him, for he lives, and he can never die again. It is only a living person who can be the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then, having exalted Jesus to God's right hand, God sent the Holy Spirit into the world in order that we might be able to know Jesus Christ by faith, by the illumination of our hearts and minds, and the energizing of our souls. We come to put our trust in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So the church that professes the creed, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, is simply the people in the world who live by faith in Jesus Christ. Everything we do as a church is because of our faith in Jesus Christ. We worship in order to experience together our relationship with the living Christ, who is present with us by the power of the Holy Spirit, who proceeds from God the Father. We read and we study the Scriptures because they witness to Jesus Christ. We celebrate the sacraments of holy baptism and holy communion because through them we are united with Jesus Christ by faith. We pray in order to develop the mind of Christ. We meet together in small groups to help one another to learn how to be more like Christ, who is the only person who has ever lived in perfect communion with God. And together as the church, we attempt to serve this community in a way that carries on the ministry of Jesus Christ. Christ should always be the center of the life of the church. If you study the history of the church, it becomes apparent that it is easy for the church to become off-center. And whenever Christ ceases to be the center of the church, then it needs to be reformed. We try to make the church just like any other social organization, or our theology becomes a philosophy rather than God's Word revealed in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Or the lives we live become just like everybody else's in our culture, because we forget that membership in the church means discipleship of Jesus Christ. So then the Spirit of God is continually calling us to come back to the center, which is Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our theme for this anniversary is yesterday, today, and tomorrow. If this is a theme that matters, if this is a theme that is true, if this is a theme that is Christian, then it is a theme that is based upon the creed of the church, which is Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So then what this anniversary is all about is putting our trust in the person of the living Christ and continuing his work in the world, here and now. To him, with God the Father and with the Holy Spirit, be glory and rule now and forever. Amen.